This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Okay, so the first remote controls came on the market toward the end of the 70s, early 80s. So for those of you that aren't old enough, that weren't even born then, you actually had to get up off the couch and walk across the room and turn the channel. Or control the volume, right? Well, I was on my own by then with my own family, and I would go over to my parents' house, and my father had contrived this little contraption. He couldn't stand commercials. He just couldn't stand them. And there weren't remotes, and there was no mute button. So he made this, I wish you could have seen it. He made this box that was about 8 inches long and about 6 inches high, about 4 inches wide. And on the top of it was like this dynamite detonator thing. And he rigged a wire from this box to the television. It drove my mom crazy because he then convinced him to get the wire around the edge of the carpeting. So we'd be watching TV over there and a commercial would come on and wham! He would kind of look around like, and there would be silence. For that minute. And I grew up really appreciating it every time I would go over there, and I wished that I had one. And so my brother-in-law, being handy himself, made me one. And so then I had one too. To this day, I find great joy in being able to push that mute button, or better yet, fast forward through the commercial so you don't even have to deal with them. To be able to control outside noise, outside clamor, anyone pushing you or pulling you or telling you you're not good enough or telling you you haven't done enough, to be able to control a time apart from the stress of life is deeply, deeply gratifying, and not only that, is deeply renewing and restorative to ourselves, our souls, our bodies, our minds, our spirit. The reality of our lives are stressful. Stressful. I don't have to tell you that. Just what we've been dealing with in the last couple of days, listening to this horrible tragedy in Colorado, and the big question marks that come up, and the angst that we feel for those families, and for the obviously mentally ill young man. It's a horrible situation, and that's just one of many that we deal with. The stressors of wars all over the place in Syria and Afghanistan and South Africa. It's a hard time sometimes. And most of us, we wish that we could do more. We wish that we could help the environment. We wish that we could, and we do our part. You know, we may do little by little in whatever way we can. We bring food here. We do outreach in whatever way that we can, and we wish that we could do more. And most of us are really just trying to make sure that we keep one foot in front of the other and enjoy, yes, but it can be really stressful. Just taking care of our own families, taking care of our loved ones, trying to make both ends meet, or finding a job at all. And so this ability to be able to stop and to really get clear within yourself and what's important and how then you can have the energy and find more energy to do all of those things plus help others is found in this silence with Christ. It's there. In our gospel selection today, Jesus models for us the importance of taking the time for prayer, taking the time apart, taking it, especially if we can get into a habit of doing it daily, even if for just a brief time, and the results are that we will have amazing learning. We'll hear things we hadn't heard clearly before. We'll be fed in a way that really nourishes us, and we'll be healed. And then, overflowing with that awareness of God's presence, we can't help but help others in everything that we do. That's how it works. Before we explore how Jesus tells us about that in today's gospel, I have to take a little bit, the teacher in me just has to take a break for a second and tell you that how we come up with the readings that we do, that we read every week in church. It's called a lectionary. And a lectionary, as you probably know, just means a list of readings. And we join with churches all over the United States and all over the world, and not just Episcopal churches, but Lutheran and Methodist and Presbyterian and Roman Catholic and many others. And we're all reading the same scripture every week, which I think is really cool. There's power in that if we could figure out how to unite that somehow. And in the unseen, it is united. So there's a really good reason for us to follow this lectionary. But today, the people who devised the lectionary did something that is really odd. You may have noticed it was kind of hard to track the gospel. They were here, and then they went across, and then they were here, and it really took some time. But what the people who selected today's reading gave us today is a sandwich. A sandwich. We see the first slide. So, and I've always wanted to use one of these little pointers, so I got it from Radio Shack the other day. So they've given us this sandwich, but today we only get the bread. We only get the bread, but it's really, really good bread. And next week we're going to get the meat, or the vegetables if you'd rather. So the next slide will show us how that's broken down. This one is a little easier. Pray that we have money to buy new projectors and this will be cleared up. This is what we have today. This reading and then these verses. So there's this big verses in the middle that are left out. So it jumps from this story and then it goes to this story. So that's why it felt kind of disjointed when you were listening to the gospel. And then next week we're going to hear this, but we're going to hear it in John's version, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. But John's is a little bit longer and more elaborate, but it still happens in Mark, and it happens right in between these two stories. So there was wisdom in the way that they did this, but it's important for us to know because some really cool things happen in taking a look at it broken down this way. Okay, so the first piece of bread has to do with the disciples coming back. This is the Sea of Galilee, and they were all over this whole area, and Jesus had sent them out two by two. You may have heard the gospel a couple of weeks ago. Jesus sent them out two by two to do what he had taught them to do, to heal, to cast out the demons, to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they did that. And today's story, the first part, the first piece of bread, starts with them coming back because they are so excited to tell Jesus about what they had done. But because they were so successful, throngs of people were following them. Following them, and not only them, but Jesus. And so there were so many crowds around them, they didn't even have time to eat. But still, the disciples were so filled with this love, this knowledge of God, that they wanted to tell Jesus, and they come up to tell him. And Jesus says, whoa, just calm down. Let's go apart. Come away with me to a deserted place by yourselves. Just put that. It's like he had my dad's mute machine. It's like, calm down. We've got to just step back for a minute. And so they go into the boat, and they go down the edge of the sea here. And they're not really sure, scholars, exactly where, but they probably got in all around here, and they were out far enough that they really couldn't see the shore that well. But the people that were following them knew where they were going, so that when they were going to go to this deserted place, probably right here, the people had followed them and got there ahead of them. So they were there waiting for them when they got out of the boat. And this first part, this first piece of bread story, remember, When they come up on shore, what does Jesus do? As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because he felt they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So they had their time apart. He goes on shore and he's ready to teach them many things. He knew that they were longing for some kind of direction in their lives, some kind of answers to the questions that they were not getting anywhere else, but they could tell that in this man, Jesus, something was going on. And in these disciples, something different was going on, and they wanted it. They wanted a piece of it, so they were clamoring. And this is where the story stops. Because they were so interested in Jesus' teaching that they stayed there all day long. And by nighttime, everybody's tired and nobody had thought about food. And so next week, we're going to talk about what happened then. The reason it's important to know this is going on then is because after all of that, they did take a time apart again. Jesus went up into the mountains to pray by himself. And he told the disciples to go across to another city, to Bethsaida, and be by themselves. And then he's also going to calm the storm that came up on the water next week because he sees the boat coming out, and then they all go into shore. So all that happens in the meet next week. All of that goes on. But the important thing I want you to know and remember is that they were taking the time apart in the midst of all this good work. So that then they're back on shore. The next slide. When they crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret, and wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. So we had this great teaching in the first story, and then feeding, and then amazing healing. Anybody who came to him was healed. Anyone that they brought, even if they just touched the fringe of his coat, they were healed. It's important to remember that Jesus was fully human, and we forget that oftentimes. He got tired too, but he had the wisdom to know to take that time apart to rest. And when he did that, he increased his energy, so he had this really clear perspective so that he could teach. He was also fully divine, so he had that with him, God as God incarnate. But it's this beautiful mystery. He lived life, a life like we did, and that's how he can teach us and show us what's important for us to do too, if we want that energy. And he says, greater things shall you do than me, by the way. So he had this energy to be able to teach, to do miracles, and to heal. So this chart, I don't know if it helps you or not, but pretend that this is kind of the sandwich, so this is the meat in the middle, right? And throughout, this is the first part of the story where he was teaching and then healing, but throughout all of it, to make all of this possible was the silence and the time apart. And group prayer and group activities for coming to church and all of that are amazingly wonderful and fulfilling, and we all need to also be in fellowship with one another. And we need to be able to take time alone. If you do this in your own homes, or if you do it on your back porch, or if you do it by the water, if you do it in your car, in traffic, when you know you're not moving for a long time, wherever you can carve it out, you will find great rewards. For Jesus says in Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. For us, this should come as really, really good news. We're the ones that are like those people following along the shore, because we can now follow Jesus, taking the time alone with him or with others in learning. We can be the ones to be fed by him, right? The part in the middle. We're the ones that can receive that good food for our souls and our bodies and our spirits. And when we're exhausted from everyday life, somehow that energy, and it's a mystery that if you have experienced it, you'll know what I'm talking about, because with the fruits of those kinds of disciplines comes this renewed energy and vibrancy in your life. And we are the ones that can be healed if we'll come to Christ in this way. Thomas Keating, a Benedictine monk, said that this deep silence, and he calls it, there's a technique of centering prayer, if you're familiar with that, he calls it divine therapy. Because the more you do it, the more you want to do it, and the more, now listen carefully to this part, the more you do it, it's this connection with love, and that love brings up everything unlike itself for healing. I want to say that again, that love, if you focus on that, it shines a light on everything else in your life that needs to come up for healing. And that's why he calls it divine therapy. And then you'll be given the will and the wisdom to do just that in your own unique way. Jesus said to us, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When we get tired, when we get weary, as we do, we return and rest in the arms of God, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that are tired, that work so hard, that are trying to do your best, that are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Come unto me." If you can take even 5 minutes, get a candle, get a timer, mute everything, and just take 5 minutes a day, have a special place where you do this, and you sit, and you close your eyes, with the only intention of consenting to the presence and activity of God within. That's it. And you just sit. And I'm here to tell you, the more you do it, the more you're going to want to do it. Because you're going to feel better and better and better and at peace in the midst of the stress and the chaos. And you will know in Christ that he says, "Be still. Be still then. And know that I am God." Amen.
We invite you to sit.